Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Hi there, welcome once again to the Jesus Revealed series. Now we're moving on to another character in the book of Genesis, and his name is Abraham, and he's very well known to many people. Now, while this is the Jesus Revealed series, Abraham unfortunately isn't a type of the Lord Jesus. He's not a picture of the Lord Jesus. Yet I see in him many pictures of the Lord Jesus, but he's not a formal picture. In fact, you will find that he is often a picture of the Father, and we will possibly come to that in another week because we're going to think about Abraham and his relationship with Isaac. Now, there's a lot to go at under the title of Abraham, so we will think about this week in general Abraham, and in particular the Lord Jesus' reference to him. And then in another week, we will think about Abraham and Melchizedek. And then in another week, we will think about Abraham and his son. And we may possibly manage to think about a week to do with Abraham and his wife, Sarah, because there's some really good lessons and pictures of the Lord Jesus in all of these. So let us just think for a moment what two titles are given to Abraham in Scripture. There might be others, but actually there are two titles that are consistently applied to Abraham. One is the father of the faith, and the other is the friend of God. For instance, in Genesis 17, it says, Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Again, in Romans chapter 4, 16 and 17, it says, "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." So here are two references, and there are others, to Abraham being called the father of many nations. Now I see that beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus in general terms, even though I also think that he's specifically seen as a type of God the Father. But from the Lord Jesus there have been nations born, not the nations of Israel, but you remember that Peter writes and says, you once were no people, but now that you are the people of God, that you are a new generation, that you're a nation before God's eyes. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he talks about the church as being a nation, and not a nation to replace Israel, but a new generation, something to be in the mind of God for the period of time that Christians often refer to as the day of grace. So Abraham is, in that sense, typifying in a picture of the Lord Jesus producing a nation and bringing many, many people into blessing. In fact, we read in Genesis chapter 12, very significantly, those words that through him shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And we know it's his seed. And Galatians would make it very clear it's a seed in singular sense, that from the seed of Abraham, just as the seed of the woman we learned in Genesis chapter 3 was speaking about the Lord Jesus, so the seed of Abraham is speaking about Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so we can see that comparison there. Also, you'll notice there are references that he's called the friend of God. We'll find it in 2 Chronicles 20, James chapter 2. And then in Isaiah 41, verse 8, it says, "But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend." Abraham was known as the friend of God. And in that sense, he's also like the Lord Jesus. How does a friend differ from an acquaintance? Amongst other things, a friend is someone who you have become very close to. You share life experiences and feelings that you would not normally disclose to just someone who's a mere acquaintance. Well, in calling Abraham his friend, God was allowing Abraham to experience many of the key events which God the Father would experience. And the fact that Abraham is clearly pictured as the Father, it's a lovely double picture, really, in the sense that he's the friend of God, as the Lord Jesus could ultimately, he's the Son of God, but his intimacy and his closeness and his association with the Lord Jesus is a of the Lord Jesus with the Father is a beautiful picture of of friendship. But let me take you to the main passage that's on my mind today. It's John's Gospel, chapter 8. And I'm going to give you a bit of background on it in a moment or two. But let me read you the main verse to start with. The Lord Jesus is in an ongoing discussion and conversation with the Jews. And the Jews tend to represent, in John's Gospel, the term the Jews tends to represent the hierarchy and those who were religious and opposed the Lord Jesus. And he's been having this debate with them about Abraham and who they say Abraham's their father. We'll come back to that. But, you know, he says to them this in verse 56 of John 8, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." I will come back to their reaction. It's very obvious. Many people claim that Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, here's one of the many clear passages where he does. And in John chapter 8, they understood exactly what his claim was, that he was claiming equality with the Eternal One, the I Am, and therefore the punishment for that in their mind and their eyes was execution, was death. So they picked up stones to stone him. Interestingly enough, some people discount John's Gospel, say it was a later Gospel and it's not relevant. As a Christian, obviously, I believe it is. But you want to go back to Matthew's Gospel and find in Matthew chapter 26 that when the Lord Jesus made the claims that he... let me just turn to the passage, make sure I read it correctly for you. But when the Lord Jesus was being tried and was standing before the priests of his day, remember the high priest said, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." So he answers them with a quotation or a direct reference to Old Testament scripture, both Daniel and Psalm 110. And he gives them that direct reference so much that it says in verse 65, the high priest rent or tore his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need we of witnesses?" So in response to their question, "Are you the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God?" his reply convinced them that he was claiming deity, equality with God. So maybe if you're listening today and you're from an Islamic background, would you maybe pay attention to the fact that both Matthew's Gospel, in fact you'll find it in Mark chapter 14 as well as John's Gospel, which is often discounted, you will find that those other Gospels, the early Mark and Matthew and Luke, they all explain that Christ is claiming deity to be equal with God. Now the Jews understood that. But let me take you back to this chapter, John chapter 8, very, very interesting. Well, the whole of John's Gospel, the whole of the Bible is interesting, but John in particular, in relation to the Lord Jesus. That expression, "before Abraham was, I am," is actually bad English. But it's an amazing truth. It might be bad English, but actually expresses something that we can't express any other way. Because the expression "I am" is neither past nor future. It's consistently present. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, "before Abraham was, I was." Well, that's true. He was before Abraham. He's the Son of the living God. The Bible teaches that very clearly. But what he's stating is that he is constantly existing in the present. It's an expression of his eternal nature. He doesn't, in one sense, have a past or a future. He has a consistent present. Now, I know in terms of when he comes into time and when he lives in this world and when he expresses scripture, expresses itself, it talks about past, present, and future so that we might understand those things. But God is an eternal being. And he's making a claim that before Abraham was, he existed. He predated Abraham. Well, in fact, John is consistent in this teaching. So are Matthew, so Mark and Luke. But John is particularly consistent in this, that he would say in John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So they knew his claim, and his claim was to use that ancient title of God, I Am. Let me take you through this chapter very briefly. It's an early morning temple scene that we start off with at the beginning of John chapter 8. There's a woman brought before the Lord Jesus. She's been caught in adultery. She's been convicted because of her sin. And in that section, at the beginning of this chapter, the Lord Jesus, he stoops down, writes on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. We're not told. Then he says, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And then he stoops down and writes again. But I want you just to notice this, that everyone who accused this woman in the presence of the Lord Jesus left the scene one by one, beginning at the oldest. Now, whether they were guilty of the actual sin of adultery or whether it was the general fact that there were sinners that convicted them, they left from the oldest to the youngest. But I want you to notice this. The verse says Jesus was left alone. He never left because Jesus, the pre-existent one, the one who existed before Abraham, is and always will be sinless. You come to the next section of the chapter 12 to 19, we find that the Lord Jesus makes a statement. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And the Pharisees, they argue with him. They say, "You can't make that statement. You can't testify as to what you are." The Lord Jesus picks up their law and says, "The law says there can be the testimony of two, and I'm bearing witness, and my Father that sent me." Now, this is when they get into this debate about the Father. You see, that they begin to argue with him, and they say to him, "Where is thy Father?" There's an aspersion in this chapter as to his how he came to be born. And they cast aspersion. They kind of condemned or criticized him, saying that he wasn't born of a virgin because they didn't believe that. That's another matter, another subject. But that launches us into the third section of the chapter where he claims to be from heaven. He claims to be from heaven. And so the Lord Jesus in this section, he tells them that he's going to a place they can't come to. And then they question him about this. And he tells them, "I'm from above, you're from this world. You'll die in your sins. And because you don't believe that I am," and he uses that expression, that title of God, "because you don't believe I am Son of God, Messiah, you'll die in your sins." And the Lord Jesus really tells them that it's not till he dies on the cross and is lifted up in verse 28, then the realization as to who he is will dawn upon their heart and their conscience. So he makes claims to come from heaven. I'm just building the background to this statement that the Lord Jesus made before Abraham was, "I am." The final section of the chapter starts with a discussion about two fathers, because they make this really proud claim. This is 33 to 59. They make this really proud claim. "We are Abraham's seed, and we were never slaves to anyone." The Lord Jesus is telling them that they need the truth to set them free, but they're in bondage to their lies and their unbelief. They're slaves of their beliefs, which is possible today. The Lord Jesus then goes on to talk about, "Yes, I know you're of Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you." And then they say, "Our Abraham is our father." But Jesus says to them, "If Abraham was your father, you would do the works of Abraham." Now, here's another way that Abraham is like the Lord Jesus. Because Abraham did the works that pleased God. Now, you say, well, what works are those? Well, actually, there's a play on words here, because the Lord Jesus is really reminding them that Abraham believed God, as it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, 3 and 4. He believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham's was a work of faith, but they refused to believe. But just like the Lord Jesus was obedient to his father, so Hebrews 11 tells us Abraham was instructed by God and he obeyed him. So he's like the Lord Jesus in his obedience. And he's like the Lord Jesus in that he was a sojourner. That means he was only walking through the world on a temporary basis because his home was heaven. That was just like the Lord Jesus, walking through the world on a temporary basis. So the Lord Jesus is very blunt with them that day and tells them their father is the devil. And they couldn't claim Abraham to be their father because they didn't do his works. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. Isn't it interesting to see that in this conversation, the Lord Jesus says to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, I've pondered over that verse many times. How did Abraham see the day of the Lord Jesus? And I wonder if in Genesis chapter 18, and you'd need to go back and check it for yourself, I wonder if Genesis chapter 18, when those two angels and God himself, I believe it was a pre-incarnate, pre-his coming at Bethlehem, appearance of the Lord Jesus, some people call it a Christophany. I believe that on that day when they were in the desert and three men came, two of them were angels. Read Genesis 18 very carefully. Two of them were angels. One of them was a divine person, which I believe is the Lord Jesus, because he's the only one who's ever revealed God physically to the world. And that day, I wonder if that's what the Lord Jesus is referring to when he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, and he came face to face with the Lord Jesus on the plains of Mamre. Now, that's a tremendous truth. And I wonder if, as you read that, will thrill your heart to think there were times when God appeared upon earth, but not permanently until Bethlehem, but he came to Abraham, and Abraham says, I saw his day, I rejoiced, I was glad. And the Lord Jesus says, even before Abraham was, I am. May God bless you through this little message today. Well, that was really good of you to listen to our podcast today. We hope you found it interesting. You can contact me on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk, or you can get to us through our email, stepcar61@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Teaching truth without a twist through Seek the Truth Bible Media Podcast.